The ark represented a holy and awesome God. It's the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. How are you today? Today's History Tuesday, and we'll read 1 Chronicles 10 through 14. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end of today's show. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word, and I ask you, Lord, today that you would teach us as we read. Bless our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. The Philistines fought against Israel, and the Israelites ran away from them. Many Israelites were killed on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines fought hard against Saul and his sons, killing his sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting was heavy around Saul, and the archers shot him with their arrows and wounded him. Then Saul said to the officer who carried his armor, "Pull out your sword and stab me. If you don't, these Philistines who are not circumcised will come and hurt me." But Saul's officer refused because he was afraid. So Saul took his own sword and threw himself on it. When the officer saw that Saul was dead, he threw himself on his own sword and died. So Saul and three of his sons died. All his family died together. When the Israelites living in the valley saw that their army had run away and that Saul and his sons were dead, they left their towns and ran away. Then the Philistines came and settled in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead soldiers, they found Saul and his sons dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines stripped Saul's body and took his head and his armor. Then they sent messengers through all their country to tell the news to their idols and to their people. The Philistines put Saul's armor in the temple of their idols and hung his head in the temple of Dagon. All the people in Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul. So the brave men of Jabesh went and got the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. They buried their bones under the large tree in Jabesh. Then the people of Jabesh fasted for 7 days. Saul died because he was not faithful to the Lord and did not obey the Lord. He even went to a medium and asked for her advice instead of asking the Lord. This is why the Lord put Saul to death and gave the kingdom to Jesse's son, David. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Then the people of Israel came to David at the town of Hebron and said, "Look, we are your own family. Even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel in battle. The Lord your God said to you, 'You will be the shepherd for my people Israel. You will be their leader.'" So all the elders of Israel came to King David at Hebron. He made an agreement with them in Hebron in the presence of the Lord. Then they poured oil on David to make him king over Israel. The Lord had promised through Samuel that this would happen. David and all the Israelites went to the city of Jerusalem. At that time, Jerusalem was called Jebus, and the people living there were named Jebusites. They said to David, "You can't get inside our city." But David did take the city of Jerusalem with its strong walls, and it became the city of David. David had said, "The person who leads the attack against the Jebusites will become the commander over all my army." Joab, son of Zeruiah, led the attack, so he became the commander of the army. Then David made his home in the strong, walled city, which is why it was named the City of David. David rebuilt the city, beginning where the land was filled in and going to the wall that was around the city. Joab repaired the other parts of the city. David became stronger and stronger, and the Lord All-Powerful was with him. This is a list of the leaders over David's warriors who helped make David's kingdom strong. All the people of Israel also supported David's kingdom. These heroes and all the people of Israel made David king, just as the Lord had promised. This is a list of David's warriors. Jashobeam was from the Hachmonite people. He was the head of the three, David's most powerful soldiers. He used his spear to fight 300 men at one time, and he killed them all. Next was Eleazar, one of the three. Eleazar was Dodai's son from the Ahohite people. Eleazar was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines came there to fight. There was a field of barley at that place. The Israelites ran away from the Philistines, but they stopped in the middle of that field and fought for it and killed the Philistines. The Lord gave them a great victory. Once, 3 of the 30, David's chief soldiers, came down to him at the rock by the cave near Adullam. At the time, the Philistine army had camped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in a stronghold, and some of the Philistines were in Bethlehem. David had a strong desire for some water. He said, "Oh, I wish someone would get me water from the well near the city gate of Bethlehem." So the 3 broke through the Philistine army and took water from the well near the city gate in Bethlehem. Then they brought it to David, but he refused to drink it. He poured it out before the Lord, saying, "May God keep me from drinking this water. It would be like drinking the blood of the men who risked their lives to bring it to me." So David refused to drink it. These were the brave things that the 3 warriors did. Abishai, brother of Joab, was the captain of the 3. Abishai fought 300 soldiers with his spear and killed them. He became as famous as the 3 and was more honored than the 3. He became their commander, even though he was not one of them. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a brave fighter from Kabzeel who did mighty things. He killed 2 of the best warriors from Moab. He also went down into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. Benaiah killed an Egyptian who was about 7.5 feet tall and had a spear as large as a weaver's rod. Benaiah had a club, but he grabbed the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These were the things Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, did. He was as famous as the 3. He received more honor than the 30, but he did not become a member of the 3. David made him leader of his bodyguards. These were also mighty warriors. Asahel, brother of Joab. Elhanan, son of Dodo, from Bethlehem. Shammoth, the Harorite. Helez, the Pelonite. Ira, son of Ikesh, from Tekoa. Abiezer, the Anathothite. Sibekai, the Hushathite. Eli, the Ahohite. Meharai, the Netophathite. Heled, son of Baana, the Netophathite. Ithai, son of Ribai, from Gibeah in Benjamin. Benaiah, the Pirathonite. Hurai, from the ravines of Gaash. Abiel, the Arbathite. Asmaveth, the Beharamite. Eliaba, the Shealbanite. The sons of Hashem, the Gezenite. Jonathan, son of Shagi, the Harathite. Ahiam, son of Sakar, the Harathite. Eliphel, son of Hepher, the Makarathite. Ahijah, the Pelonite. Hezro, the Carmelite. Neari, son of Esbai. Joel, brother of Nathan. Mibhar, son of Hagri. Zelek, the Ammonite. Nahari, the Berethite, the officer who carried the armor for Joab, son of Zeruiah. Ira, the Ithrite. Gareb, the Ithrite. Uriah, the Hittite. Zabad, son of Ali. Adina, son of Shiza, the Reubenite, who was the leader of the Reubenites and his 30 soldiers. Hanan, son of Maacah. Joshaphat, the Mithnite. Uzziah, the Ashtarothite. Shema and Jael, sons of Hotham, the Arorahite. Jediael, son of Shimri. Joah, Jediael's brother, the Tizzite. Eliel, the Maavite. Jerubai and Joshaviah, Elnaim's sons. Ithma, the Moabite. Eliel, Obed, and Jaaziel, the Mezobeites. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. David was living in Ziklag, where he had gone to escape from King Saul. There he was joined by many experienced, reliable soldiers, members of the tribe of Benjamin, to which Saul belonged. They could shoot arrows and sling stones either right-handed or left-handed. They were under the command of Ahiezer and Joash, sons of Shemaiah, from Gibeah. These were the soldiers: Jeziel and Pelet, sons of Asmaveth; Barakah and Jehu from Anathoth; Ishmaiah from Gibeon, a famous soldier and one of the leaders of the 30; Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, and Jozabad from Gedera; Eluzai, Jeremoth, Bealiah, Shemariah, and Shephatiah from Harif; Elkanah, Ishiah, Azarel, Joezer, and Jeshobeam of the clan of Korah; Joelah and Zebediah, sons of Jeroham, from Gedor. These are the names of the famous, experienced soldiers from the tribe of Gad who joined David's troops when he was at the desert fort. They were experts with shields and spears, as fierce-looking as lions, and as quick as mountain deer. They were ranked in the following order: Ezer, Obadiah, Eliab, Mishmana, Jeremiah, Attai, Eliel, Johanan, Elzabad, Jeremiah, and Machbani. Some of these men from the tribe of Gad were senior officers in command of 1,000 men, and others were junior officers in command of 100. In the first month of 1 year, the time when the Jordan River overflowed its banks, they crossed the river, scattering the people who lived in the valleys both east and west of the river. Once a group of men from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah went out to the fort where David was. David went to meet them and said, "If you are coming as friends to help me, you're welcome here. Join us. But if you intend to betray me to my enemies, even though I have not tried to hurt you, the God of our ancestors will know it and punish you." God's Spirit took control of one of them, Amasai, who later became the commander of the 30, and he called out, "David, son of Jesse, we are yours. Success to you and those who help you. God is on your side." David welcomed them and made them officers in his army. Some soldiers from the tribe of Manasseh went over to David's side when he was marching out with the Philistines to fight King Saul. Actually, he did not help the Philistines, for their kings were afraid that he would betray them to his former master Saul, so they sent him back to Ziklag. These are the soldiers from Manasseh who went over to David's side when he was returning: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediael, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilethai. In Manasseh, they had all commanded units of 1,000 men. They served David as officers over his troops because they were all outstanding soldiers. Later, they were officers in the Israelite army. Almost every day, new men joined David's forces, so that his army was soon enormous. When David was at Hebron, many trained soldiers joined his army to help make him king in place of Saul, as the Lord had promised. Their numbers were as follows: Judah, 6,800 well-equipped men, armed with shields and spears; Simeon, 7,100 well-trained men; Levi, 4,600 men; followers of Jehoiada, descendant of Aaron, 3,700 men; relatives of Zadok, an able young fighter, 22 leading men; Benjamin, Saul's own tribe, 3,000 men. Most of the people of Benjamin had remained loyal to Saul. Ephraim, 20,800 men famous in their own clans. West Manasseh, 18,000 men chosen to go and make David king. Issachar, 200 leaders, together with the men under their command. These leaders knew what Israel should do and the best time to do it. Zebulun, 50,000 loyal and reliable men ready to fight, trained to use all kinds of weapons. Naphtali, 1,000 leaders, together with 37,000 men armed with shields and spears. Dan, 28,600 men. Asher, 40,000 men ready for battle. Tribes east of the Jordan, Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh, 120,000 men trained to use all kinds of weapons. All these soldiers, ready for battle, went to Hebron, determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the people of Israel were united in the same purpose. They spent 3 days there with David, feasting on the food and drink which their relatives had prepared for them. From as far away as the northern tribes of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, people came bringing donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen loaded with food, flour, figs, raisins, wine, and olive oil. They also brought cattle and sheep to kill and eat. All this was an expression of the joy that was felt throughout the whole country. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. King David consulted with all the officers in command of units of 1,000 men and units of 100 men. Then he announced to all the people of Israel, "If you give your approval, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send messengers to the rest of our people and to the priests and Levites in their towns, and tell them to assemble here with us. Then we will go and get God's covenant box, which was ignored while Saul was king." The people were pleased with the suggestion and agreed to it. So David assembled the people of Israel from all over the country, from the Egyptian border in the south to Hamath Pass in the north, in order to bring the covenant box from Kiriath-Jearim to Jerusalem. David and the people went to the city of Baalah, that is, to Kiriath-Jearim in the territory of Judah, to get the covenant box of God, which bears the name of the Lord enthroned above the winged creatures. At Abinadab's house, they brought out the covenant box and put it on a new cart. Uzzah and Ahio guided the cart, while David and all the people danced with all their might to honor God. They sang and played musical instruments, harps, drums, cymbals, and trumpets. As they came to the threshing place of Kidon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out and took hold of the covenant box. At once the Lord became angry with Uzzah and killed him for touching the box. He died there in God's presence, and so that place has been called Perez Uzzah ever since. David was furious because the Lord had punished Uzzah in anger. Then David was afraid of God and said, "How can I take the covenant box with me now?" So David did not take it with him to Jerusalem. Instead, he left it at the house of a man named Obed-Edom, a native of the city of Gath. It stayed there 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's family and everything that belonged to him. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Hiram was king of Tyre. He sent messengers to David. He sent cedar logs along with them. He also sent skilled workers to build a palace for David. They worked with stone and wood. David knew that the Lord had made his position as king secure. He knew that he had made him king over the whole nation of Israel. He knew that the Lord had greatly honored his kingdom. The Lord had done it because the Israelites were his people. In Jerusalem, David got married to more women. He also became the father of more sons and daughters. Here is a list of the children who were born to him in Jerusalem. Their names were Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpilet, Noga, Nephig, Japhia, Elishama, Bealiada, and Eliphelet. The Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over the entire nation of Israel, so their whole army went to look for him. But David heard about it. He went out to where they were. The Philistines had come and attacked the people in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God for advice. He said, "Should I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will hand them over to you." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim. There David won the battle over the Philistines. He said, "God has broken through against my enemies, just as water breaks through a dam." That is why the place is called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had left the statues of their gods there, so David gave orders to burn them up. Once more, the Philistines attacked the people in the valley. So David asked God for advice again. God answered him, "Do not go straight up. Instead, circle around them. Attack them in front of the balsam trees. Listen for the sound of marching in the tops of the trees. Then move out to fight. The sound will mean that I have gone out in front of you. I will strike down the Philistine army." So David did just as God had commanded him. He and his men struck down the Philistine army. They struck them down from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. So David became famous in every land. The Lord made all of the nations afraid of him.
What was your thought when God killed Uzzah in chapter 13? This can be a difficult story for some people, so what I'm going to do is go over my comments from episode S12E127, which was titled Follow the Directions, where we read about this same event in 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you were with me then, please bear with me. It doesn't hurt to review sometimes, and new LifeSpring family members might not have heard it. It's important, I think, to have a better understanding of why God reacted as he did. So why would God kill Uzzah for merely reaching out to steady the Ark of the Covenant, or the covenant box in the Good News translation that we read today? Uzzah did it to keep the Ark from falling off the cart, right? So why did God react that way? Well, let's dig into it. To some, God's reaction to Uzzah's actions seem extreme, to say the least. David thought so, since we're told that he became angry at God. So what happened? First off, when God gave his instructions to the Israelites on how they were to build the ark, he was very clear about the most minute detail, including how it was to be transported, who was allowed to move it, and who was allowed to touch it. It was never to be put onto a cart, but it was to be carried by Kohathites only. There were two poles that went through two loops on each side of the ark, and these poles were to be placed on the Kohathites' shoulders, bearing the ark between them. Now, no one but a priest was to touch the ark, because the ark had the very presence of God upon it. Remember, this all happened before the Messiah had come, and only the priests had direct access to God, and only priests could perform the sacrifices that could cover the sins of the people. The ark represented a holy and awesome God, and I mean awesome in the very real sense of that word, something that inspires or commands awe. And God had made it very clear how it was to be honored, because it was a reflection on how they were to honor God himself. So by putting the ark on the ox-drawn cart, they were guilty of transgressing God's direct instructions. But why was Uzzah killed? Well, touching the ark was a direct violation of God's clear instruction. It could be that God saw the condition of Uzzah's heart, and that Uzzah didn't have the proper attitude toward the ark or toward God. It had been in Uzzah's house, after all, for some time, and he might have become indifferent to it. You know how that is. The more you're around something or around someone, the less impressed you are with them sometimes. Well, we can't become indifferent to God. He is God, after all, the creator of all that is, the one who gives life and sustains it. And it could be that Uzzah had a cavalier attitude regarding God's word. He didn't think it was important to sweat the details. Maybe his reaching out to steady the ark reflected a lack of faith on Uzzah's part, or that God somehow needed his help. So what we might want to draw from this is that we need to pay attention to what God says, and we should do all that we can to be obedient to him. Yes, he's loving and he's merciful, but he's also holy, and it's important that we never forget that. It is his holiness and justice that requires payment for sin. And it is his love that made a way for me and you to not have to make the payment for our sins. It's his holiness and his justice and his love that required the sacrifice of his son in my place and in yours. Because of his holy and just nature, he couldn't just overlook the sin. It had to be dealt with. I'm just so thankful that God made a way for me to escape his wrath, and that he's offered that way, that gift, to anyone who will receive it. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you haven't accepted that gift yet, I'd like to hear from you. Write me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com if you've got any questions about that. I'd love to hear your comments or your questions. Contact information will be at the end of today's show. Tomorrow will be Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 99 through 101. Plus, Lord willing, we'll continue our Essential series, and we'll have a time of praise reports and prayer requests. If you have a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, be sure to listen at the end of the show for how to let me know about them. Thank you to today's associate producer. Jorn Rune Reitertsen sent in his monthly $20 donation. Thank you very much, Jorn. God bless you.
Boost.
Boost!
Sean of San Pedro sent a 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boost. Thank you, Sean. And user 2558 is back again today with 500 sats with a thank you attached. Thank you, 2558. God bless you as well.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
This comment came in on the LifeSpring Family Hotline from LifeSpring Family Berean Brother Paul of Seattle after last week's reading of 1 Chronicles.
Hey, Steve. This is Paul up in Seattle. Give me a call while I'm driving. Just listened to 1 Chronicles 5 through 9 and your comments afterwards. I'm always amazed that you pulled something out of all of those names. But you're listening through sins and whatnot that keep us separated from God. And while these things aren't sins, but other things that just were kind of striking as, working too much or being too much into sports or just anything that really takes your focus off of God, it just doesn't have to be drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. That stuff's obviously not good, but I think that in our society, we tend to forget that this other stuff pulls our focus off of God as well. I definitely have had that for many years of my life, and I kind of continue, although trying to get away from that. So, I just wanted to call and say that as I'm driving, so hope everything is well, and use this as you see fit. All right, thanks.
I couldn't agree more, Brother Paul. Thank you for the voicemail. Anything that consumes the attention that should rightly belong to God, or that introduces ideas that compromise our standards or principles or causes our priorities to shift, these are things that we need to be mindful of. Thanks again for the call, Brother Paul. God bless you. Today's show art is from Scott Snyder. Thank you, Scott. And also thank you to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany. I'm so thankful for the team. If you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, let me know. Here's how. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you'd prefer a keyboard, for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. For comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com or send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and I always love to get boostergrams. Send your message that way. Thank you for taking me along with you today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
And now it is time for Le Boost.